Good evening, and welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study, family night here at the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God. We are so glad that everybody's here tonight. What a beautiful day, huh? Gorgeous day. You know, you can tell it's early in the season of summer when we think a 90 degree day is a gorgeous day. Because I know once we get to about end of July or August, we'll be all panting, going, oh, it's so hot. But we're ready for some warm weather, aren't we? Amen. I know I'm hearing the farmers are already saying they need rain. You know, so we need to get a little bit of rain on top of that. The corn likes hot temperatures and rain, from what I've always heard growing up in Ontario, Ohio. So we're getting the hot temperatures. Now we need a splash of rain to get that corn to just go crazy. Amen. So we have been doing our summer lesson this summer on evangelism, reach and teach. And we've already been through the first couple sections of our lesson plan. We've had an introduction to evangelism the first week. And then 2 weeks ago, our last time here for Wednesday night Bible study, we had an entire lesson on evangelism. Or as you learned 2 weeks ago, the Greek word euangelistes is what that is. And that's evangelism, evangelist. It's in the Bible quite a few times. And that's where those words are derived from. And this week, if everything goes really well, the last two sections are sent and witnesses. And we're going to see how this goes. We may finish out this plan and start Pastor Joe and Alicia's next lesson plan in a couple weeks. But if not, we'll finish up in 2 weeks. Somebody will pick up where I leave off. But I think we're getting into some pretty familiar territory. When you start reading the scriptures that we're going to have this evening, a lot of them are found in the Gospels. A lot of them are very familiar to us. There are definitely scriptures that we hear preached and taught on in this house quite often. And our first scripture for tonight is out of the Gospel of Mark. And it's found in chapter 16. And it's a small, simple verse, but it's called the Great Commission. And this is after Jesus had risen from the dead, and he appeared to the 11, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he goes on to explain a little bit more of that, but that's our scripture for our sent this evening. It's Mark 16, verse 15. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about evangelism. This week, the key word in our scripture is preach, or kairouso in Greek. And I was wondering as I looked up evangelism and preach, and it's very similar biblically speaking, but I thought the definition of preach was a little bit interesting. Because we all have our own opinion of what preaching means, don't we? Can anybody point to a preacher in the house? Right? We all know who that is, right? We got preachers sitting right up here, our pastors. Darius and his wife is our pastors and preachers. So we think of somebody that preaches on Sunday morning, in the pulpit, up here shouting at you, getting amens and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to a congregation. The biblical definition doesn't say that. It says to proclaim after a manner of a herald, to publish or proclaim openly, use of a public proclamation of the gospel in matters pertaining to it. And it says it should be spoken with authority. And I got thinking about that. I think I was driving home tonight, and sometimes my mind wanders when I'm driving because I drive a little ways on the way home. And we've all heard Pastor Joe talk about his personality, an aggressive, go-getter, fiery, right? And I was thinking about how we hear the gospel preached here on Sunday mornings. And this is by no means addressed to any church or denomination, so I hope nobody tries to make it into that. But could you imagine, knowing what we're used to at least, if you had somebody come in here on a Monday morning and said, please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And you hear all the pages turn, and then they said, so I'm going to read you some stuff out of this, the Bible. So I want you to try to believe with me, right? So let's just, right? That's not preaching with authority. That's not preaching like you believe it. That's not preaching like you know it to be true. So even though Pastor Joe gets fired up, even when he's not shouting and stomping his feet, he's preaching the word of God with authority. And that's the preaching that Jesus is speaking about. Not a, what was that? The Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. You've been looking at your study plan, haven't you, sister? About being endued. But what I wanted to talk about before we get into it, I just wanted to make sure everybody understands that preaching isn't just a systematic rhetorical recitation of the Bible. Preaching is speaking with authority, not as though you have someone over or you're over somebody, but with authority means that you're speaking it confidently, boldly, clearly. Let me tell you something. If I stand up here and read a whole bunch of Greek words to you, is anybody going to get anything out of that? It's out of the Bible. We need to be clear when we preach. We need to be confident. We need to preach in love and kindness. We need to preach with a purpose. What's the purpose of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ? It's that so people will have an opportunity to receive him as their Lord and Savior. Amen? And if you're preaching it for any other reason, because I can stand up here confidently and tell you our pastors aren't preaching the gospel on Sunday mornings for a paycheck. That's not the preaching that Jesus was talking about. So when we read the Great Commission, and it's also, it's not listed on your lesson plan, but you can read another one called the Great Commission in Matthew as well. Same thing, very last, as Pastor Alicia said last week, some of the last words Jesus spoke on this earth. But he's talking about spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in confidence. Because the people, and we're going to get into this later, as the sister just said, because the people that he trained for his time on earth were witnesses to these things. They were given testimony about what they heard, what they saw, what they experienced. And that carries all the way down through, all the way down to where we are today. Through the Gospels, through the teachings of the apostles. And that's what being an evangelist or a preacher is all about. And we talked about this for the last two classes or lessons. Anybody is called to do that, right? That's not a specific one person that's called to do that. So I thought it was important to get the word preach out there tonight, that everybody in this building can preach. You don't have to be a preacher to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. You speak it confidently. You don't question your own knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. As the sister already said, you're going to have the words to speak when you need to speak them. And we're supposed to plant those seeds for people, in people, around people. And I've always wondered, how can Jesus tell them go into all the world? Does anybody have an opinion on what that means? Like, how could Jesus have expected these 11 guys to go into all the world? Does anybody have any opinions on that? So, if we're not to go into all the world, you're saying we're just supposed to do it right where we're at? So it's different now than it was then. He was in the beginning, wasn't it? He was planting that first commission, wasn't he? How did they reach the whole world then? I'm in Cary, Ohio. I've got a Bible. I've heard about Jesus. There was people beside me growing up that knew about Jesus. So how did it happen, sister? Like a ripple of water, isn't it? So we might not be physically able to travel around the entire world all by ourselves, but if Sister Sally knows, and she tells somebody, and they tell somebody, and they tell, right? It just keeps on going and going and going and going like a pyramid. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then guess what? There will be somebody that ends up jumping on an airplane going into another country, right? And maybe they're the first one that ever landed in that country, and they start telling one person. Think of St. Patrick. He was a great story of that, wasn't he? Pastor Joe's shaking his head. If you don't know the story of St. Patrick, he wasn't Irish. He was English, I think. And he was persecuted really bad and went to England and got excommunicated and then went back to Ireland and started preaching the gospel and spread just like crazy. But that's what I feel like. And if somebody else has a different opinion or a better definition, I feel like that's one of the things Jesus means by going to all the world. You got to start preaching it so the gospel spreads. You know, we've read in other Bible studies that the gospel spread the most miraculous, powerful way the gospel spread most of the time was persecution. They were scattered, spread out. Brother Jesse, come on up.
One thing I thought about was that Jesus was also saying it's not just for a specific group of people. It's for everyone. Amen. Every yeah. race, every tribe, every nation. So the yeah. gospel isn't just for the Jews and those living just in that region, but he was making it clear that it's for everyone.
Amen. Every creature is what my Bible is that on my or all creation is what my version says. Yeah.
So I think the word proclamation is interesting because it is a written statement that is backed by authority. Mm. And we still have proclamations even in our nation. I think sometimes we don't look at the gospel in this light, but just as if a king on earth or ruler or government signs a proclamation and sends it out, there were people who were agents of that king or government. They used to call them heralds back in the day. And they would step into a town and declare, hear ye, hear ye.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And they would release the proclamation of what the ruler over them had stated. And the expectation of that proclamation is that people were going to obey it. And so in the sense of that we should go into all the world and proclaim the good news, we are heralds or agents that have been sent by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to declare his word to everyone. Hear ye,
yes.
The good news, Jesus Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
And this is the proclamation that you can now be set free from your sins. So just like the proclamation that was sent out a few years ago that if you signed this paperwork and put this in and you did your taxes that you would get a stimulus check from the government. Everybody went running to get their extra money, right? I don't know where our government came up with it, but they gave us the extra money, right?
Another study, we'll talk about that.
So, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that have paid for our sin, and the proclamation is this is what they have done, and that's why we have to share this message. I know that in America, we take it for granted sometimes that everyone's heard this. We take it for granted that everyone knows we're all sent. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that we're all called to preach, like you're
right,
saying.
Right.
We are supposed to proclaim this good news. We are the carriers of this message, and it is up to us, every one of us, not just me because I'm a pastor,
right,
every one of us to proclaim this to everyone around us. And it's up to them what they do with it.
Yep.
And that's the thing I think we struggle with sometimes. We think we got to make people. No, no, no. Right. Just proclaim it. Hear ye, the word of the Lord, right?
Yep.
And let's just proclaim it and let people do with it what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, amen. So I appreciate you mentioning herald because that was part of the definition I read earlier, and I never thought about explaining what a herald was. But that's what it said, to preach it as a herald. That was the word they used in that definition. So, amen. So, getting to our lesson plan, there's some cool stuff here that has been written for us. So, I don't want to discard any of it. So, I want to read through some of the things that we have. And I think you all have it if you have a copy of this. And if you don't, yeah, there could be some extras back here. I don't know. But I had heard somebody, said this, that go, it said Christ has an expectation that his followers and disciples would go. And it says in English, two-thirds of God's name is go. In Spanish, the word for God is Dios. And it says three-quarters of God's name means to gave, which D-I-O, which is the first three letters of Dios, is the past tense of dar, which means to give. And it says, because God gave his only begotten son, we should now go, as Pastor Joe just said, for all those reasons. So I thought that was a cool little thing to bring up. And then I'm going to buzz through a few of these other things that are written here that have already been said. Brother Jesse said, no one is left out, no one is excluded. The expectation is that everyone should be reached. Everyone. Every single solitary one. I heard a preacher, something, evangelist, something on the internet one time, he said he had somebody ask him, they said, well, what about, you know, if your God is so good and everybody has to come to Jesus, he says, what about those people in that faraway land that have never heard of your God? And the preacher got tears in his eyes and he said, that's my fault. And when we take it that serious, because he didn't hesitate. He didn't make up some story of, oh, well, you know, you're right. Yeah, God's compassionate, so I'm sure that person would still get to go. No, he said, that's my fault. Because I'm called, I'm sent, I'm proclaimed or proclamated, however the verb would be of Pastor Joe's proclamation, to preach the good news. So that's the seriousness. And I want to say one more thing about that. Don't make up wishy-washy answers when people ask you stuff like that. He took responsibility for it. He said, I'm a Christian. That's my fault that those, if there's people that don't know about it, that's our fault. Says the message that we're to preach is the same good news that Jesus preached. His life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the good news. We've got a scripture here out of Romans 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And it says almost here in the next scriptures in Romans 10, it says, for there is no difference, as the brother already said, between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen, brother. But it must be preached and proclaimed. So I want to open the microphone up. And I would sincerely like to hear some people's comments on this. And I don't need a, you know, I don't think I need you to come up here and explain exactly what you do or how you do or, you know, all the different. I just want something quick. Because everybody has their own way. Everybody encounters different people in their worlds. You know, we all live in different worlds when we're not in this building. We all live in different neighborhoods. We go to different stores. We work in different places. But I was thinking, what are some things that we should proclaim to people? What are some things that you look for an opportunity to mention to people? Because one of the things that I think we can do pretty simply is look for an opportunity to mention some things to people. And I would encourage you that even if you're not a real outgoing personality of, you know, the person that I've never met a stranger type of person. Not everybody's like that. But if we look for opportunities to proclaim things to people, we're still preaching the gospel. You're preaching it in your way, your unique way. Because there's not anything in the Bible either that tells you exactly how to go do that, does it? It doesn't tell you to go, and we've heard our pastor say, it doesn't tell you you got to go to Bible college. Not that Bible college, but this one over here, because we believe more what, right? It doesn't say that. It just says that we're to go preach the good news. Sister Sally, give me an example, please.
I live in a world, and my little world around me is unsaved people. So I my way of preaching is if something good happens to them, I say, oh, that's a blessing from God.
Amen.
Or I say, oh, isn't God good?
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, because my people don't want to hear too much. So
right.
Just throw those little things in. And I notice it is taking effect. It is taking effect. But that's one way of getting it out without, because when I get talking about the Lord and that, I get like, Joe, I get,
yeah.
Jumping
amen.
Down, shouting, yeah. Screaming. Punk.
Sister Sally's scaring people. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great idea. So you're giving the Lord credit. And that's a great opportunity that we all have. Like I think Sister Sally just hit one out of the park there, because we're all around people when good stuff happens sometimes. So those little comments, subtle, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother Jesse.
One way that I found is successful is during conversation, look for a way to make it practical and relatable.
Yeah.
So why does this matter to me in my life, and how can you relate it to the situation that we're talking about right now? And people seem to receive that more because it can make sense to them.
Amen. You know anybody that's ever done that? Famous person that made things like that relatable to the people and the time and around him?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, have never heard of him, huh?
Mm-mm.
Isn't that exactly what Jesus did, didn't he? Yeah. But that's exactly what Jesus did. When you read about the parables and you read the parables that Jesus spoke in, they weren't talking about, you know, 2020. He was talking exactly, he was relating things to exactly the things that they would understand, and he put it into his perspective, but he brought it to life through a practical example of their current times. Pastor Alicia.
I always try to take notice of a time where I can share a testimony.
Amen.
So mm-hmm. I had a miracle with our middle child, Emma. So if someone's talking about pregnancy, that's an open door for me to share. This is what God did for us. Or finances, we've had miracles. And so if they're talking about that, we can share, well, this is what God did for us.
Yeah.
And that's a practical way to witness.
Amen. We're called to that as well, aren't we? To testify. Anybody else? Maybe just some words about, go ahead, Sister Sal.
Yeah, another way is we all have experiences from God, and you tell that because, especially in this day and age, a lot of people say the Bible isn't real.
Mm.
So you can say, it's real because I seen God, I talked to God, you know, and tell what happened, tell how you got, what happened when you got saved, tell what he, when you're sick, what he does for you, and how he, because he does come and talk to us.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's there, and if you listen, you will hear his voice.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm gonna encourage our sister there that the Bible also tells us that it's foolishness to those who perish. They're going to think you're crazy if they don't believe in it. But that's okay. They thought Jesus was crazy. They called him Satan one time. Who are you casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub or whatever? So we can't let that stop us. Because people that don't know it, people that don't understand it, or people that just choose not to believe it, they'll think what some of the things that Sister Sally just said there, they'll think that's foolishness. But that's okay. Because you said it. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to proclaim it and preach it. Anybody else got anything? Listen, here's one of the things I felt like I wanted to do this for tonight. I'm just going to be honest with you. This isn't just a Bible study this summer to come in here and spend a little bit of time on a Wednesday night and maybe have somebody talk about some scriptures. Our pastors want us to be reached. I guess I was going to go and teach, but this is reach and teach. So this is equipping the saints of God. That's what our goal is here every Wednesday night, but we have a specific focus right now that's been led by our pastors to evangelize. So it's very important, and I with the permission of Pastor Joe, I'm just going to be blunt with you. We need to be getting it. We need to be eating meat. Amen. Like Paul says, it's time. You guys are still drinking milk. I want to give you some meat, but you're not ready. It's time that we're ready for the calling of our lives that's been put on us by the Lord Jesus through God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be doing that. Now, does that mean I'm going to go stand downtown and wave my Bible? Maybe that's not me. Maybe that's Pastor Joe that does that. Maybe that's my personality doesn't line up with that. Go ahead, sister.
You know, when we don't do that as children of God, we're missing out on the blessings. You know what? I'm getting older now, and I can't do what I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
But by the Holy Spirit and me listening to his voice, my job isn't done yet.
Amen.
Just because I'm getting a little older and I can't go around as much as this one or that one or younger ones, that doesn't mean that I can't proclaim the Lord, that I can't tell God, tell people what God has done for me, that I can't say, you need to come in. You need him. You're talking about life and death, eternity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're talking about, I mean, John the Baptist, he didn't waste words, and we shouldn't waste words.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, as we age, as we get more mature in the Word, there'll be new encounters in our life. There'll be new opportunities. There might be new jobs. You know, as Pastor Joe talks about exit ramps, you know, once you've done, you've fulfilled maybe a season in your life, and God will provide something else so somebody that you've discipled will come right up behind you. Go ahead, sister, speak it up. Yeah.
I'll tell you what Al and I do. We've been to a lot of ramp buildings, people that need ramps.
Oh, I got you. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we've done a lot of that. And that's witness there. You know, we witness to the people. We're helping them. We build a ramp. We ask them to church. But when I see someone outside, one of the neighbors, I kind of like smirk my duties of building a ramp.
Yeah.
And I go over there and talk to those people. And I ask them, you know, how they're doing, who they are, and all everything else. Because I don't know a stranger. I'm like my dad. I don't know a stranger.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, amen. And I'll say, well, do you know God? Do you go to church? No. And where do you go? Where is your church at? And I tell them, and that's a way to reach out.
Yeah.
That's the way Al and I have done. Well, Al don't go out and do that. He'll stay there and keep screwing in the screws, building the ramp.
Amen. Well, somebody's got to keep building the ramp while you're preaching the gospel,
well, I'm
right?
Over there talking.
It's a team.
Yeah, and they're always saying, there goes Jed again, off talking to somebody.
Yeah. Amen. That's a great example. Thank you for sharing that, Brother Andy.
So I love what Pastor Alicia said about testimonies, because, you know, there was a time in my life when I was paranoid. Pretty much every time I got home from work, I had panic attacks, but I would press in and read the Word, and a year and a half ago, he delivered me from it. But in 1 John, it says, do not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And Jesus displayed this a few times when he sat the multitude down and he fed the 5,000 with the five loaves and two fish for the one scenario. So you could look at that today as, well, when I used to work at Circle K, if I had it on my heart to buy someone's coffee, I just end it and like, hey, God is with you. Jesus loves you. I hope you have an awesome day. Because I think actions can speak louder than words. And my boss, he is he's so focused, and he's teaching me that work speaks for itself because it's backed by faith.
Amen.
And so.
Amen. That's a great example as well. Yeah, it doesn't do you a whole bunch of good to just run around shouting at people, does it? That doesn't really accomplish much, does it? Wasn't it the book of James that says that? If you just like say, hey, brother, God bless you, stay warm, I hope you get some stuff, you know? Yeah. He says, what good does that do? So there's some action required. Sense a verb. Preach is a verb. There's a lot of verbs in there. So you got to do something, don't you, brother? Anybody else that you're just willing to share? I'm believing you're all doing it. At a minimum, I'm believing that you're all doing it by the lives you lead. The example you provide for people as Christians. I'm just going to speak that in faith. I'm going to proclaim that. So if you're not, Now's the time. Does anybody else have anything you want to just mention? I just felt like I needed to do that tonight, because here's the thing. I'm just going to be blunt again. If you're scared to come up and tell us how you share the gospel, how you sharing the gospel? Just saying. I forgot to ask permission from pastors for that one, but I just slid that one in. But I'm being real, and I'm talking real to you tonight. That's why I think this is important lessons that our pastors have set up for us, because that is real. And now maybe you think the way you share the gospel is something that we're all going to make fun of. Maybe you're scared of microphones. All I would ask, come on, we got a couple coming. Now they're racing for the microphones. Amen, come on. But I just want you to, just whatever you do, don't be afraid to share the gospel. All right, we got a winner over here.
So wherever I'm at, I always ask someone if I can pray for them or if there's anything they'd like to pray about. And if they say no, I say, well, I'm going to pray for you anyway.
Amen. That's a great, that's the first time we've heard somebody mention praying for people tonight. And that's another great way of doing that.
I'm involved with some things in my community. And I think it's really important for a personal touch. There are people involved in one huge project that I'm involved with that would just like to do everything on the computer and not reach out and not make a personal connection. Mm. And I'm all about making a personal connection.
Yeah.
It's
Amen.
Huge. And I have people who I haven't talked with in 5 or 10 years, but they still will call and say, hey, I have a need. Can you help us?
Amen.
And I'm like, absolutely. But that personal connection is huge.
Yes.
Just reaching out and letting somebody know that you care, that you're around. Yep. And even if it doesn't relate to whatever you're involved with, yep, just for them to know that there's somebody they can talk to is huge.
Amen.
And
yeah,
and like you said, it is. That's how you live your life as well.
Yeah.
If you are here every Sunday and then you go and do whatever,
yeah,
it doesn't get it. And people see that.
They see that.
Most definitely.
Even if you don't know they're looking, right?
Even when you know they're looking and you're like under the microscope, it's yeah, just like your kids. Absolutely.
Amen.
They learn by example. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's another great example of personal touch, which is hard to pray for somebody without being personal with them, isn't it? That can get down and personal. But I like the idea there, too, of if somebody doesn't want you to pray for them, okay, I'm going to pray for you anyway. Even if I walk, I might go to my car and pray for you. Or I'm going to pray for you on the way home. That's big, because let me tell you something. When they get that miracle, when they get that thought, when they get that peace or clarity, they're going to say, I wonder if that's because that crazy woman was praying for me. Amen? That's what they say about us. Anybody don't believe that? You know? But when somebody doesn't believe, they don't believe. And they think we're foolish for believing in stuff. So be bold. Pray for them anyway. Amen. Pastor Joe, you got something? All right.
No, I like the personal touch, because to me, it, in my mind, I was thinking you befriend people. You
befriend.
Befriend people.
Yes.
I wasn't coming out right.
That's okay.
And you become someone's friend, and that a lot of times can turn right over into discipleship, which I know we're going to go. I know we're going to go into that next discipleship, but that's what a lot of times that personal evangelism turns into, because you made a friend and you're walking along beside them. You introduce Jesus into their life. They accept him. Now you get to go the next step,
yeah,
and walk through that with them and teach them. And so that's cool. But something that came to my mind that, and I know that it doesn't always happen in my life when I'm witnessing, but I think it does happen from time to time, and it can happen in anyone's life, and that is being sensitive to the gifts of the Spirit, and giving someone a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, discernment of spirits, that you not just evil spirits, but you discern their spirit, like their personality and who they are. Mm-hmm. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. I know sometimes people don't think that that's a witnessing tool, but I know a guy who God would give him other languages to speak to people, and he knew what he was saying, and he could understand them. He was an old coal miner from West Virginia, and he would witness to people from China that came over to work in the coal mines, and he would lead them to Jesus speaking Mandarin, and he had a third grade education, if that'll tell you anything. So those things can happen as well, and it's just, you know, the proclamation of the word of God is prophecy, but giving a word of prophecy and the gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, you know, all of those things are signs that you're witnessing about the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we should be sensitive and in tune with the Holy Spirit, that when we're in other people's presence, that a gift might want to operate through us to minister to that individual so that God can be lifted up and they know that He's real. And I mean, you get a word of knowledge for somebody that you don't know, and you start reading their mail, so to speak, as the old expression goes, you're telling them everything about their life, and they know they don't know you. You just showed up at the restaurant, and they're the waitress or across the table over there, and you just start telling, they're freaked out.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do you know that? Well, the Spirit of the Lord revealed it to me, and He wants to know He loves you. And then, you know, right in there, you move in and you can minister to people.
Yeah.
So that's another way.
Amen. I knew there was a popular guy that did that, and I don't know, he was standing at a well one time and a lady showed up. Amen. But that's how Jesus did it. He read her mail, didn't he? Pastor Darius, go ahead.
I just want to read two scriptures, and they these two scriptures have been my core scriptures for reaching out to people. One is when Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Amen.
I remember one time I was having a group of pastors in Cuba, and any time I had a group of pastors in Cuba, I had to rent a car. And one time I was driving towards Santa Clara to pick up the team, and there was a policeman hitchhiking. And it might sound weird to you, but in Cuba, very few people have a car, and you can see military people and policemen hitchhiking all the time. That's how beautiful communism is. They work for them, but they don't provide transportation. So I gave a ride to this guy dressed as a cop. He was a cop. Now, in my culture, people don't like to do that because they can be labeled as snitches. If they see you talking to a cop, maybe you're a snitch. But I decided to give him a ride. And he sat down in the car. The interesting part is this too. Military people and cops are not allowed to be in tourist cars. They can get in trouble. So many times I would stop for a military or a policeman and they would say, no, 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 no. They cannot be in a tourist car. It's against their code and they can lose their job and go to jail. But this guy came into the car so that he had bags and all that. Well, I found out that his mother was dying at the hospital. And then I witnessed to him. I pray for him. I pray for his mother. And many times when I got in trouble for preaching the gospel and I was taken to the police station, the guy was there. And I never got in real trouble because of that.
Amen.
See, that's how sometimes you make good deeds and your Father in heaven is glorified. And that's a way to witness to people.
Amen.
People are always in need of something. Everybody needs something. Millionaires need something. And the need is the call. Mm-hmm. So the good deeds that you can show to somebody, a smile at the store. Mm-hmm. How are you doing today? Mm-hmm. I always look at the name of the people at Walmart. Yeah. And I call them by name. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today? Mm-hmm. They get shocked.
Yeah.
Because nobody do that.
Yeah.
But it's a way to engage. And the other scripture that I just want to point out to you is, this is the key that Jesus gave us to witness to the world, folks. And it's when He said, in John 17, verse 21, may they all be one as you, Father, mm-hmm. are in me and I'm in you. Mm-hmm. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me.
Amen.
If the church is not united,
yeah,
if we are not on the same page, we're not going to win the world.
Amen.
As easy as it is. So my two main things to try to reach people is to love on them and find the need and try to provide for that need. And that will definitely bring glory to the name of the Lord. And second of all, try to keep unity as much as possible in the body of Christ.
Amen. You know, going back to what Pastor Joe said and followed up by what Pastor Darius said, people who need something, and I've had this happen to me before, they'll wonder why I showed up. How did you know? I didn't. I just saw you. I felt like I needed to stop. That's the Holy Spirit telling you when to stop, you know? And I've talked about this before, and, you know, I try not to use the word absolutes when I'm talking about things, and what I mean by that is always and never. Like, I never do that, or I always do. I try not to do that. And, you know, one of the things, I work in Columbus, and there's a lot of need that we don't see around here with, you know, drug addictions and homelessness and alcohol and, you know, the things on the side of the road. And I genuinely can stand here and tell you that I don't feel to stop every time. But I can also tell you that I've been on a major interstate in Columbus, Ohio, and saw, don't even know why I saw, but I looked when I don't know why I looked, and I knew that I had to get off at the next exit ramp, drive all the way back around, and pull over. And the results of that were miraculous. And I knew I was supposed to be there. And I want to just encourage you that go ahead and do it. You can't go wrong just doing it. But you'll know if you were supposed to do it. And if you get all done and you're like, "Yeah, maybe I wasn't." Who cares? You stopped and did it. Huh? You listened to the Lord. Or maybe you just had really good intentions. Shame on you, right? And that's the advantage of being a good Christian person with the morals and the ethics that the Holy Spirit will put in you. Even if God isn't specifically pointing Sister Maggie out to me, I still want to go over there and have compassion if she's got something going, right? So it's all the works and the Holy Spirit. It's all blended, the faith. It's all together. In unity, it's blended together. It all works together as all parts of the body. You can't separate any of them and do them in singular. Can I get an amen? You just can't just be a nice guy. You can't just be spiritual, right? But you can be both. And I'll argue this too, you can't be really mean and spiritual. And that brings up my last point, and unfortunately, Brother Jesse leads up our schedule for our Wednesday nights. I don't know if I'm going to get through witness unless you want me just to blow through it. But I wanted to ask this question because, once again, I feel like this is a season that we speak freely with each other and talk about becoming evangelists or preachers of the gospel. And this is another question that I had written on my notes. Should we preach about hell? We got a shout from over there. Did Jesus preach about hell? He sure did. Did Jesus tell his apostles to go into all the world and let everybody know if they don't follow me, they're going to burn in eternal damnation? He taught them that. Now, I would argue, and we have, and this is why I wanted to bring this up. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, was one of the places, and then there's a few parables where he talks about what will happen to those that don't believe. But you have to be careful with that one. And I'm going to go back to what I just said a minute ago about having the faith and the works and the Holy Spirit and your motivation and all these things working in unison. Once again, I'll tell you, and this, and pastors can correct me if this is not what they want me saying, but I'm going to say what I believe. You can preach, you need to preach, you should preach both. Because one doesn't really do the job, does it? You can't just preach about hell. And you can't just preach about heaven. But when we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, and whoever gets to follow up the lesson plan is when we go into witnesses, you're going to talk about being endued with the power and the dunamis power to preach the gospel. But you'll know how to season that message with salt. Because Jesus made it very clear that the harvest will be reaped, but the tares will be burned to nothing. He says those that don't believe will be subject to hellfire. So once again, I'm going to go back to that original beginning when we talked about preaching, about being confident and bold. But Jesus doesn't want you to scare people into professing his name. And that's why you have to be careful with how you do it. And I'm just saying that because I thought it was important, because I've heard people say, and Brother Andy Schock explained, he said this to me one night on the phone, and I'd never, I guess, thought of it that way. But Andy said, I don't love Jesus so I get to go to heaven. He said, I love Jesus so I can be at his feet and worship him for all of eternity. That's the answer. So once again, if you convince somebody to say the sinner's prayer with you because you promise them all they got to do is say that and they won't burn in hell, that's not the message we're seeking. Come on, we got a race again. I love it. Come on, Brother Andy.
Well, I think hell is important to the gospel because that's what we've been snatched out of.
Amen.
That's why it's good news.
Yeah, salvation wouldn't mean much if there wasn't something to be saved from, would it? Sister.
So I want to go back to, you started with Romans 10, and if you go further down, it talks about how will they know if there's not a preacher. So yeah. There's a lot of people in this world that don't even know that there is a hell. Yeah. And so if you're not telling them about hell, but I want to go back to Billy Graham. He was the best evangelist of all time. He won the most souls, or led the most people, rather, by the Spirit to Christ. I don't think I've ever listened to any of his sermons that he didn't teach about heaven and hell.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we would really be scaring them, but they need to have the knowledge that if you don't believe in Christ and surrender to Christ, there is hell to pay.
Absolutely. Yeah, and when I meant scaring them, I'm talking about preaching only hell. That would be what I meant by trying to scare people into proclaiming Jesus. So like I said, you have to preach the fullness of the gospel. and those things are included. You can't leave parts out. I always say this, it either all matters or none of it matters. That's just the way I believe. For anybody out there that thinks you can cherry pick a scripture, right? That's not the way it works. Pastor Joe.
I like the way Jude says it. He says, save others by snatching them out of the fire.
Yeah.
To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So he's essentially saying it's both.
Yeah.
We show mercy, but we also snatch them out of hellfire, meaning we get blunt with them, you know? And so it has to be balanced and it has to be true. And we have to have the discernment of the Spirit to know what is going to work at that moment.
Yeah.
Some people do need to hear a bold, hard message.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need people to be very blunt with them. Mm-hmm. Other people, they need to hear of God's tender mercies for whatever they're going through. And it doesn't mean that they don't need to hear about hell. They still need to hear about hell. But it needs to be preached differently. And I believe that that does not mean, and I want everyone to hear this really clearly, that doesn't mean that, well, this person over here is the kind, loving one, while this person over here brings down fire and brimstone. No, all of us at any moment need to be equipped and ready to share what the Bible says to whomever is there. And however they need to hear that.
Yeah.
And Paul said he became all things to all men that he might save some.
Amen.
That's what that scripture means. He gave them the word of God in a format where they could receive it.
Yeah.
But it was the word of God and it wasn't tainted.
Yeah.
He didn't make it sound good, you know what I mean, for this person over here. And then, you know, he gave them the straight up word of God, how they needed to receive it. And so it's important that we give the full gospel story, like you're saying, and I think Jude really grasps that.
Amen. Yeah, and Paul actually says that when he says, but never did I step outside of the laws of Christ, or however he said that. So that's what, going back to what we talked about earlier, don't make stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, preach the truth, proclaim it to people. And a lot of times, you know, going to what, you know, a lot of people have said tonight, most of the time that your opportunity is going to come where people need something. And sometimes that is a crack over the head. Yeah. Amen. Yep. Anybody else? Yeah. I got one shaking their head. Yeah. Two. All right. And then other times they just need loved, and people ask you, man. I remember one night I was giving a guy, after I'd been saved, I was giving a guy a ride home from it was a outdoor get-together, whatever, party. Ooh, I was there. I wasn't drinking anymore. Hallelujah. And a friend of mine was, you know, he'd been drinking pretty heavily. And I said, hey, man, I said, why don't you let me drive you home? You know, and he arguing me, I convinced him, or other people helped convince him. And so I was driving him home. And we got about halfway to town, and he looked at me, and he said, how did you do it, man? I thought about it real long and hard, and I was thinking to myself, Lord, will it do any good to explain it to a man who's been drinking like this? And I looked at him and I said, do you really want to know? And he said, yeah. So I told him. That was the rest of our ride home. He's still drinking, as far as I know. But you know what? He's heard it.
Yes. That's it, right there.
Now, if I get another chance, would I say, maybe I ought to reiterate that to him someday when he hasn't been? Yeah, absolutely, I should. But he heard it. And once again, real quick before we close, you know, we were talking, we do our steadfast ministry at the nursing home. And we had talked about this prior, you know, when we were praying about that ministry. And it's like, you know, some of the folks out there, you don't know if they're really understanding you or not. I'll be quite honest with you, you don't know if they've heard the story or not. Jesus doesn't tell you to decide which ones to tell the story to.
That's right.
And we said, we're going to preach it and hope they can hear it. Mm-hmm. Whether they can verbalize that to me or not, it doesn't say that either. Right. It's from their heart to Jesus. I'm not there to save anyone. They're not going to proclaim anything to me. So if they hear it, Pastor Dury said it best the other day when him and I were talking. He said, if they have a moment of clarity in an otherwise mind that might be letting them down, one moment. And that might be because you were bold enough to preach it. Come on up, sister.
Brother, that is so true. A lot of people have, as they age, their mind does tricks on them and stuff. Yeah. But God will make a way for him to, for them.
Yeah.
I worked in a nursing home. My brother-in-law was in a nursing home almost all his life. But every time they had somebody come out there like that or something like that, they were there. And those guys gathered in. I'm sure you've got the same experience out to the nursing home.
Yeah.
Because there's something about the Word of God that brings these people forth as best they can. Best if they can get on their wheelchair and get there, they're going to try to get there.
Amen.
Most of them are like that. I've known that for many years, and I've seen the hand of God work in that way. See, he loves them just as much.
Yeah.
And his mercy and his grace, just like Brother Joe preaches on grace a lot of times, I just love it. Because that grace is just something we have a hard time understanding.
Yeah. Amen. Pastor Darius and I were talking about that the other day, and if you've ever seen the movie God's Not Dead, such an amazing characterization. If you haven't seen it, I forget how they were related, but the one man was a very strict, no God, no God, no God, and his mother was a powerful woman of God. And she had lost her mental whatever. And he was almost like, bothered by her. And in the movie, they very, purposely show her kind of in a dazed state as he's kind of going like, ugh. And all of a sudden, she just turns to attention and preaches to him. And he's thinking, whoa. And then all of a sudden, she just goes. That's the moment of clarity that God can. Pastor Darius has a testimony. You want to give that testimony, brother? Or is that, do you want me to not do that to you? It's real quick, but Pastor Darius actually has a testimony. He witnessed one of these things happen. Go ahead, brother, share that if you don't mind.
It was actually with my grandfather.
There you go. Share that.
My grandfather, he never accepted Christ, but then he had a stroke. And then he couldn't speak. He could understand. But then after some weeks, he was also not being able to recognize anybody. And then he was laying in bed. And we knew that he was going to die. And he wouldn't recognize anybody. Like my mom or even my grandma would come and he wouldn't know who she was. And I prayed. And I said, Lord, I want to see my grandpa saved. And I want him to have you in his heart and he can go to heaven. So can you give him a moment of clarity? So I went to visit him that morning and he had a picture of me when I was little in front of his bed because he raised me. That's another testimony. But I told him, I said, Grandpa, do you know who I am? And he looked at the picture and he looked at me and he could articulate a nickname that he used to call me. Like, he knew who I was. So I immediately said, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now? If you do, tell me. And then in his own noises, he says, he wanted it. I was touching his hand. I said, can you move your hand? Do something that will tell me that you want Jesus. And he even touched my hand a little bit. And I'm like, there it is. So I prayed for him. And I said, Lord, he cannot pray. He cannot utter words. But here, he is saying he wants you. Mm-hmm. So that was it. I left. And then 10 minutes later, I came back. And I asked him again, hey, Grandpa, do you know who I am? No. He didn't know who I was. And from that moment on, he got worse and worse until he went to heaven. So I know he's in heaven.
Amen.
It is a moment of clarity.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's a miracle of God. And you know, the compassion of a pastor or a family member and the compassion of God to give him, because as we already know, it's a condition of the heart. But God saw your prayer. We don't always get that answer, but that compassion was there for the brother as well, that God knew how much it meant to him, and God said, I'm going to let him show you. Just that 1 minute. So, amen. So I'm sorry we went over and still didn't get done. Might be a little track record I got going on here. I'll have to have a meeting with the pastors about Wednesday night Bible study. But I think these are, just take these real seriously. If you don't have a paper copy, let one of us know. And we'll make sure there's enough here. I think there's some here. If there's not enough, we'll get you one. Because this is good stuff. For home even. Fold it up and put it in your Bible because this stuff's out of the Bible. And it explains some cool stuff. It's a little easier than the big book we carry around normally. So get ready for witness next week. And we're going to talk about being in dunamis power. Amen. Does anybody have any other comments before we go to prayer? We have a couple prayer requests. Jimmy, do you have any online? No? Does anybody have any prayer requests that they would like to add before we pray? A friend of mine's mother is been put on hospice, so we're going to ask to lift her family up in prayer. Sister, you have a prayer? Do you want to speak it, or are you just raising your hand? You can come up. Yeah, come on up. I know, we hate those microphones, bro.
No, there's a family that I think the father is still in the hospital, and his son was killed, 4-year-old.
Okay.
So I want to pray for the family.
So just the family? Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for God's church to get out there and reach and teach.
Yes. Amen.
His whole church all over this world.
Yeah, amen.
Anybody that calls him a child of God.
Yeah. So not just the Pentecostal church?
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know what the name
is. Amen. That's right. Do you think God respects the names of our churches?
No, he doesn't.
You know?
Just like the heart.
We put such a focus on that down here, and, you know, anyway, that'll be a whole other Bible study. Don't get me going. Amen.
Already God has sent Bibles all over this world.
Yeah. Amen.
All over this world to places that we can't even reach sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't think of. These movies.
Brother Jim, when are you guys doing? That's coming up, isn't it?
I don't know the date.
It's in June, though, right? Maybe? It's sometime this summer, and that's something that we remember everybody donated Christian books and literature?
Yeah.
I know Pastor or Sister Betty and Brother Jim, and I don't know if anybody else is going or not, but they're going to go help assist in that. I think you've done that before, right? Help box them up and package them and send them all over the world to people that otherwise wouldn't have it. So that's good. Any other prayer requests? Yeah. Your family? Do you want to put any names to it or just pray? Just pray. Peace? Healing? All of the above. Just pray for everybody. All right, everything. All right, amen. The month of June? The covenant of the rainbow? So there's our opportunity Listen, tomorrow's June 1st, right? So our government has declared that. I can't change that. But we can pray for that. We can pray that God, who we know can change that. But I would discourage you, and I don't think I need to say this in here, but I'm going to say it anyway. I would discourage you from being confrontational. If you're going to interact, or if you have an, I'm just going to call it an opportunity to preach the gospel, preach it. But I'll tell you this, Jesus talked about this as well. They strike you on this cheek, turn the other cheek. If they take your coat, give them your cloak, or however that, I don't know, I might be using the wrong words. So if you're going to preach the gospel, let me tell you what, these things are from the devil. What's he want? He wants confrontation, turmoil, violence, fighting. Because I can tell you right now, if you get in confrontation, they won't say, well, what? Well, some kind of what? They're going to say, well, some kind of Christian you turned out to be. So don't fall for that trick either. And I'll get off that. But thank you for bringing that up, because as a Christian nation, we need to be praying against that stuff. I heard a guy on the internet today. He said, did you say Pride Month we're talking about? Yeah. I heard a preacher on the internet today. I was listening to him, and I thought it was pretty powerful. And I won't get real deep into it. I know we're late, but he said he was talking to somebody that was homosexual or whatever, and he said they told him, they said, well, I was born that way. And that preacher, he said, I looked right at him. He said, I don't care how you were born. Jesus said you need to be born again. And I thought about that, and I said, if you think about that and you want to make an excuse for how you were born, we were all born sinners. We weren't supposed to stay that way, were we? Amen. All right, I'm done. So, all right, so Sister April, go ahead. Did you say what? Bob Fredericks? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think about your dad so much. I wish he was in Ohio, selfishly. And I know you do too, but.
Anybody else? Brother Andy. Larry needs strength and healing. Wholeness. Okay. All right, so if you have any other prayer requests, you pray for them. God will hear your prayer. Even if I don't utter the words, he'll hear you. I just like to hear people shout them out. Amen. So we can all pray. So I had a prayer over here for the Hollenbaugh and the Manna Smith families. And the death of Tammy Lou, is that was related to this, the other two, or there, is that multiple requests? It's, okay. So that's all one family. So we're going to pray for comfort and peace in that situation. We're going to pray for peace and comfort for the family that was in the accident. We're going to pray for the sister's family back there for peace, comfort, joy of the Lord, salvation all the way through. We're just praying right now. And we're going to pray together in our hearts that God's church would just rise up and unite as one, as Jesus, as Jesus intended it. Lord, that you would just reach your hand down here and just give people divine interventions in the denominationalism and the intervention in the segregation of your church, but provide revelation for people in who you are and who you want us to be, that there would be unity in the body, that we would come together and rise up to bring you into this world, for we have enough evil in this world, but it cannot overcome the light. So we want light in each and every situation that are brought forth tonight, Lord. We want to pray for the families that have been mentioned tonight, Lord, that you would bring peace and comfort, that we would ask for healing and wholeness in Larry's body, Lord, that he continues to progress. We curse the disease of Parkinson's. We just bind it and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We just release wholeness over his body and his mind. Lord, we bind and rebuke whatever's going on with Bob. Leave him, the devil, just leave him alone. Lord, that you would just give Bob strength in his body. Give him the will to live and to fight, Lord. Give him the will and the desire to come to you, Lord Jesus, to put his life in your hands, to declare you Lord over his life. We pray for salvation and wholeness in his body, Lord. We pray for peace in the family of the man who lost his son, that you would show him something like through that, Lord, that there would be something where he can find comfort and peace in that. And Lord, we pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed over the month of June. Lord, that they've never taken it from us, Lord. But we rebuke what they're trying to make it into. We know your promises, Lord. We stand on those promises. We stand on your command to love one another. And we know, Lord, that even though there's confusion in this world right now, Lord, that you can bring clarity, that you can bring peace, and that through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all evil shall end. All evil shall come in submission and bow at the feet of Jesus. And we just declare that right now over our county, our town, our state, the entire United States, the world, Lord, that peace and love would rule the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen. Well, thank you, and I appreciate each and every one of your comments tonight. Thank you.